Okay. I want to start by doing a little review of what we spoke about last week, and also clarifying a point, one point in particular. And before we go further and further explore the topic, last time we noted that there's this concept called shavi nafshei chatira d'yisura. If a person attests that or asserts that his wife, Arthur, how are you? If a person asserts that his wife was mizana, that she had an extramarital, consensual extramarital relationship, I think Morty's sitting here, but the seat's open, then she's prohibited to him. He's not allowed to continue living with her in a normal married relationship, even though in general you would require two witnesses to assert that such a thing occurred. Even though generally you require two witnesses to testify about the extramarital affair, if he says, my wife had an extramarital affair, then we believe him. And he's prohibited to continue living with his wife. That's called Shavi Nafshei Chatira D'Yisura. Now, we offered two basic conceptual approaches to how Shavi Nafshei Chatira D'Yisura works. One is that, and this is what Chaim suggested last time, Chaim called it nether. Now, it's not exactly a nether. We'll use the term hischaivus. Basically that it's kind of like similar to an oath. Just like a person can say Sprite or ginger ale is prohibited to me and I will not drink it from here on in, I will no longer drink it. A person can say that his wife is prohibited to him as well, and that works similar to a kind of neder or shvua or something to that effect.
Henceforth.
Henceforth, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. Heretofore would be the opposite.
I thought you said you can't do a neder against a mitzvah.
1 second. Yeah. It's not a neder. It's what we'll call hischaivus. The other is that you're believed. We believe you within your own domain. We believe you within when it comes to issues specifically pertaining to you, your own prohibitions will believe you, even though generally we require witnesses. And then we discussed two nafkaminas of that issue. What is a nafkamina? A nafkamina is a pragmatic difference that illustrates the difference between two conceptual approaches. So we have those two conceptual approaches, and what are the nafkaminas? One nafkamina we noted was, let's say he's unreliable. He's never been married before. We hope and we assume that he doesn't really know about these issues. It's actually very interesting. There's some, the Rishonim debate, the Gemara says that sometimes they would give Malkus to a Bachur who claimed Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He was never married before, they would give him Malkus. So not Malkus de Oresa, not biblical lashings, but they would punish him, they would give some form of corporal punishment. There's Machlokes Rishonim as to why. Some say because he doesn't know what he's talking about and he's lying about his wife, so we punish him.
He's not married yet.
He's not married yet. How does he know? He lives with his wife on the first night, and he says, she's not a besula. She clearly had some extramarital relationship. So some say because he doesn't know what he's doing, he's lying about his wife. Some others say no, because we assume that he does know what he's doing, which means he's been acting inappropriately. So we make sure to punish him for his previous relationship. But in any event, let's assume that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Can he make that assertion or can he not? If it's his chayvos and he's just simply obligating himself, just like he can make a neder on all sorts of different things, he can assert that his wife is prohibited to him. If it's a ne'emanus, then if we have no reason to believe that he knows what he's talking about, then we're not going to accept what he says. That was one nafkamina. The other nafkamina was sveksveka. That's a little bit more of an involved nafkamina. What about a case where there is a sveksveka? To cut a long story short, if it's hischaivos, then it will work regardless of whether or not there's a sveksveka. If it's ne'emanos, we said it will not. Now, one thing I want to clarify is as follows. This is something that Ben Kaufman actually raised this week. And Mr. Wise, this is something that was bothering you last week also. And that is the question of the following. If we believe him, then we should believe him. Namely, she shouldn't just be prohibited to him. She should lose her ksuba. Maybe you wanted to go as far as to say she should be chayav misa. Right? Either we believe him or we don't. Right? So it's a little bit counterintuitive that we should only believe him in one case and not believe him regarding everything else. So to clarify that point, I want to at least temporarily remove the term of believability and replace it with threshold or standard of evidence. Now that's something that we mentioned last week, but I want to clarify the point further a little bit right now. To convict someone, I think we have lawyers here, right? To convict someone in a U.S. court of law for criminal law, what's the standard of evidence that you need?
Beyond
a reasonable doubt. That's certainly what they tell you on the TV shows. I don't know if that's an actual thing, but the standard is beyond a reasonable doubt, right? So in order to convict someone, you need to have made your case, you need to present evidence that shows that he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, in the NFL, the standard for punishing cheating is what? This came up in the recent Tom Brady scandal, the Deflategate. The standard,
what do they say it is?
What is it?
It's whatever they say it is.
So what I'm asking you, what do they say it is? What is their standard?
Their standard is different.
The standard of the NFL is more likely than not. More likely than not, okay? So the Wells report, which was this report that investigated Tom Brady and the Patriots, concluded that it was more likely than not that Tom Brady knowingly deflated the footballs lower than the league allowed, okay? So now, you've proven it more likely than not. Was it proven beyond a reasonable doubt?
No,
it certainly was not proven beyond a reasonable doubt. They don't have a smoking gun.
But they don't have a court of law.
But the point is that the standard of evidence is different. So now we have this report, right? What would happen to Tom Brady? He'd be suspended from 4 games for the NFL. But would he be thrown in jail? If Lou Yutsuyer deflating footballs was a criminal offense, would he be convicted?
No,
he wouldn't be convicted because you haven't met that standard of evidence. That's effectively what we're saying by Shami Nafshe Chatikha Disuru. In terms of establishing a prohibition for himself, there's a low standard of evidence. And if he says that she's prohibited to him, we believe him. The standards. Kinui and Stira is a little bit different. Kinui and Stira could be very different. Kinui and Stira is actually part of this sugya a little bit, because after all, he is asserting that his wife had an extramarital affair, and we didn't read that part of the Gemara. But later in the Gemara, if you look, you see like 4 lines in a row, the line ends with Kinui and Stira. So Kinui and Stira is also an important issue. Part of the question about Kinui and Stira, which partially relates to this Gemara, is how much is that process of sota just giving us reasonable, or making it reasonable for us to assume that she actually had an extramarital affair, namely raglayim ledavar. He warned her, she still did it, clearly we can assume that she had an affair. Or, even if she did not have an affair, is that an independent shame isser of kino yustira? That's part of that sugya. But let's steer clear of that for now. The basic point is, we have enough evidence to create this prohibition. We don't have enough evidence to do everything else. We don't have enough evidence, per se, to make her lose her ksuba. We'll talk about losing her ksuba, probably not tonight, but maybe next week. We certainly don't have enough evidence to issue capital punishment, but we do have enough evidence to create his own personal isser, that prohibition that exists for him himself.
We have no evidence. He's casting aspersions on him that are going to last for a lifetime.
Okay, we don't.
He's just affecting his own thing vis-a-vis her.
That's a fair point. There's a question of Shema Motzi Laz is always a concern. Maybe it will cast aspersions not just on her, but perhaps on the children also. You have all sorts of questions like that. And we'll see the Gemara Nedarim actually does take that into account in certain specific cases. But let's assume for now, okay, without the factor of Motzi Laz, that we don't really take him so seriously. He creates this issue for himself, but on the whole, we don't believe him. So everybody disparages him. He's a crazy guy. But you know what? He's met the standard of evidence for establishing a prohibition for himself. Not evidence. Standard of the threshold. He's met the threshold. Last thing, and then I'm going to go on.
A mitzvah night, he finds that there's no besuda. It's him going to Beis Din and saying...
Correct. Pesapasom Matasi.
Matasi. And then she can get capital punishment from that.
Only if there are witnesses. No. Only if there are witnesses. She can't. They're not. Basin's not going to punish her on his word.
But if,
only if there are two witnesses.
Similar. What's
if there are two witnesses that she was Mazana, yeah, then she's going to get capital punishment. If there was Eidos and Asra. Now, what exactly the Eidim see is always like the big question, right? We have a principle by a marriage, Hein Hein Eidei Yichud Hein Hein Eidei Bia, that the Yichud Eidim stand outside the room, and that's sufficient for Bia as well. Now, is that specific to Kiddushin or does it exist elsewhere? That might be a machlokas Rishonim even on our daf, a machlokas in Rashi and Tosos. Hopefully we'll get to that. That's a separate sugya from Shavu Nafshei Chatikha D'Isura. But what the Eidim have to see is a question. We certainly need Eidim. Now I want to talk about a different issue today. That's we're going to go to page 6. And I want to talk about source 9. So I want to explore some more nafkaminas of our central theoretical question. What is Shavu Nafshei Chatikha D'Isura? Should it be categorized in the Rambam's Sefer HaFlah, along with Shavua and Neder and all things like that? Or should it be in Hilchos Eidos, Hilchos Sanhedrin, something like that, where we talk about believability? And we spoke about the fact, again, we spoke about those two nafkaminas last week, and I want to mention another one now. And that is the question of what happens if there is counter evidence, something that would tell us, no, maybe he's wrong, maybe we shouldn't believe him. We have reason to assume that he's incorrect in his assertion. So take a look at source number 9. The first question I want to discuss is what happens if they found Dam Basulin. They come with the sheet that they used, and there's blood, which would presumably be the virginal blood, what we call the Dam Basulin, and they have it there. And he's asserting that, no, I'm telling you, I know she was not a virgin, And yet you have the sheet with Dam in front of you. So take a look at Rashi. This is Rashi on that Tesav and Aleph. Again, it will be on the Gemara, but just for simplicity, we can hone in right here in source 9. HaOmer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Now he's saying that I found Oso Makom, that place was open. It was open, it wasn't sealed. He's not claiming I did not find any blood. So Rashi wonders, why not make a more basic claim? Why not say, Lo Matzasi Dam, I did not find blood. So look at what Rashi says. So look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, V'tainas damim ein lo. He says he has no ability to claim that there wasn't any blood there. Why? Kigon shehimi mishpachas durkiti she'ein lohem dam besulim kidelek aman. The Gemara on Daf Yud discusses a certain family. There was certain genetics that they never had. I think the biology is the hymenal membrane. I don't know if we have any gynecologists here. Yeah. But they didn't have dam besulim. So because there was no dam besulim, he couldn't say, I didn't find blood, because they weren't expecting any blood. So he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, I found that she wasn't it wasn't sealed. There was clearly some kind of other relationship, not based on the blood, but based on his perception of his not re'iyah, nothing that he saw tells him that there's nothing, that she was a be'ula, but his central perception. Whatever it may have been. Rashi says there's an alternative circumstance, in which case what? There may have been blood on the sheet, there may not have been, but what happened? We lost it, we weren't paying attention, and the hotel maid took it out, and they no longer have the sheet, they can no longer inspect it, they don't know whether or not there was dam besulim. He says, I don't know whether or not there was blood, but I know that Pesach Pasuach, the place was open, clearly she was not a besula. Now, what circumstance does Rashi not mention? A case where what? They actually found blood. Mm-hmm. Rashi does not mention that. Now, why doesn't Rashi mention that? Two possibilities. One is what you're saying, Morty.
Metzias goes against
one him. Is that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He can't make that claim if they found the blood. If the blood is there, he can't make the claim. What's the alternative? The alternative is that that's one option. The alternative is maybe even Rashi would agree that it would work, but that's not the average case. What's the average case where he's claiming Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, where he's claiming that but there's no blood? Because she's Mimishbrachas Durkati. We could always wonder, for Rashi, is it because he's taking a principled stance that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi does not work when they find blood? Or is he just giving us the basic case, the most obvious case? Now, it happens, as it happens, we don't have to wonder about it so much, because fortunately, the Rashba steps up, and he presents two positions on this issue. Look at the Rashba in source 10. Ma'ari yikagon shehime mishpachas durkati, te'ein lohem dam besulim, o shenev dohamapa inami bibogeres. The Rashba says the two cases of Rashi, he lists a third case where we're not expecting blood. Umihu, listen to what the Rashba says, this is the underline. Afilu ba'al umotza dam, betoin tainas pesach pasuach matzasi, ne'emanhu le'osra alav, te'hashavye anafshei chaticha di'isura. It says, even if they found blood, okay, he's believed, because shavye anafshei chaticha di'isura, he can still do it. As long as he asserts pesach pasuach matzasi, it works. So now, stop there for a moment. And actually, I'm sorry. Skip down two paragraphs. V'yesh omrim. It begins with every paragraph begins with an underline. But the third paragraph there, v'yesh omrim, to davka kishalom matza, specifically when he didn't find dam, hamatza damim lo. But if you found dam besulim, then he can no longer claim pesach pasuach matzah. If he diktiku midivrei Rabbeinu Chanan. So we have Rabbeinu Chanan saying that if you find dam besulim, he can't claim pesach pasuach matzah. Now that's somewhat intuitive. Why is that intuitive?
Where did the blood come from?
If you found the blood, then clearly you're wrong. Clearly she was a besula. And yet we have the second day, another day, the Rashba asserting that even when they find the dam,
could be different blood.
He can claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Good. We'll get back to that in a second. So if I stop you there, how do you explain? I think, to me, the more intuitive position is that of Rabbeinu Chanano. The blood is there. We don't believe you. How do you explain the Rashba?
It's not necessary that you believe her that she wasn't a virgin, but you believe him enough that she's usher on him.
Why?
Because he made it himself that she's
Usra. Himself. It's not
because
it's
Shabian
Nasra. The Rashba before said the case, previously we were talking about last week, that he doesn't accept the buffer. Something I remember you once said that he didn't accept somebody.
The Rashba had two deos on.
If he doesn't accept him because he's a buffer,
No, the Rashba had two positions on that. The Rashba had two positions on the issue. Just like he has two positions on this, he had two positions on that too.
Did he accept somebody who was not expert?
Look at source 7. It says, V'yesh misha omer deloshna nasloi v'loshna panoi. V'yesh misha omer dedavka nasloi aval bachur la.
So what did he hold? His position
he, was... I don't remember. The Rashba...
Because if you say that he didn't hold the bachur, so that means he's an expert. If there's blood or not, he's considered to be an expert, and he knows if it's pesach pasul.
He was married before.
Okay, but assuming that the Rashba does not commit... Okay, so listen to what Chaim's saying, because I'm going to claim exactly the opposite. That's why Chaim is saying that if he's an expert, then maybe he knows.
No, if he's an expert, then he holds an expert if there's blood or not blood, because he knows Pesach Pesuach.
Okay, that's a possibility. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let's assume that the Rashba is not committed to saying that he's an expert. And indeed, I'm going to argue...
Okay, so I take it back.
Maybe she took blood from a
pigeon
or something.
That's what the I want to come. If I I deliberately held off on that line. We'll come back to that line in a moment.
But if
I stopped you there,
maybe it doesn't hinge on whether she was actually a virgin. Maybe the whole issue is what's in his mind.
Well, why would that be the case? Go back to what we just spoke about. What's our central? That's what you wanted to say. That's what you're going for.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Keyword is hischaivus.
Yes.
Hischaivus. We set up this whole central question, conceptual question about what is shavya nafshei chaticha di yisura. Is it that we believe him, or no? We don't believe him. It's as if he took an oath. It's as if he took a nether. It's similar to now. If it's about believability, then if there's counter evidence, like finding
shouldn't take effect.
Finding like the virginal blood there, then there's good reason to assume. That
he's lying.
That he's incorrect. Or, I mean, not he's lying. At least he's incorrect. Then we're not going to believe him. If it's a vow, if it's an oath, if it's a hischaivus or neder, then who cares whether or not she was actually a virgin? She may have been. We may not believe it. We may think his assessment is wrong. But it's as if he took a neder. It's a hischaivus. That's how I would have explained the issue. Now Chaim, let's take what you were saying, and I'm going to flip it on its head. You were saying, oh, maybe if he's an expert.
I thought the Rashba held a position before.
The Rashba gave two positions, but in other words, if what I'm saying is correct, then the Rashba would be inclined to say that even if he's a bachor, it would work. Why?
Because he believes himself.
Because it's a schaivus. Who cares if he's a bachor? Who cares if he's a nasui?
Because you're saying, let's say it's hafla, right?
His schaivus. That's what I'm calling his schaivus.
Okay, so his schaivus, it can, because he made a mistake. He's doing his schaivus based on the fact that he thought that she was...
Okay, so hold off on that. We'll get to that. I don't know if we're going to get to that.
Does the really make a difference?
No, Hischaivus has to do with what his thought process is.
Okay, good. So right now, so I like what you're saying a lot. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight, maybe next week. Right now, we're going to deal with what I'm calling an extreme version of Hischaivus. Okay. That means, like the Shulchan Aruch Gubetta said last week, he really comes into Beis Din and we read his mind. When he says, Pesach Pasul Matzasi, what does he mean? I don't want anything to do with this woman anymore.
Fine.
That's really what he means, okay? We're going to come back to what you just suggested, and I think when we discuss a little bit more of a nuanced view of hischaivus, which will be important, we'll come back to that.
Why just give a divorce?
He doesn't want to pay her ksuba, whatever it is. He's upset about it. He wants to publicly shame her, whatever his motivation may be.
He's not going to get out.
It's immaterial. Now, fine. So we have this new nafkamina. Matsu dam basulim or lo matsu dam basulim, right? Before we were discussing Saksveka, we discussed what happens lo kimlei v'lo kimlei, he bachur and nasui, does he know what he's talking about? Now we have the first case of counter-evidence. We're going to see three issues pertaining to counter-evidence, hopefully tonight. This is the first one. Now, there are three things, actually, that I want to point out about this particular issue. The first, again, goes back to something that Chaim was suggesting before. That's as follows. So far, we're suggesting that maybe this is a nafkamina of our question. Okay? In other words, if it's a schaivus, if it's similar to a neder, if it's just an oath, we don't care what counter evidence there is. It's all about what he wants or what he doesn't want. If it's about believability, then obviously we're going to take into account counter evidence. So if it's a schaivus, then he'll be believed even if they found blood. If it's ne'emanus, he won't be believed if they found blood. Now, that's how we're setting it up until now. Now, it's important to recognize that even if this is all about ne'emanus, even if this is all about believability, is it conceivable that he would still be believed even if there was counter-evidence? It's conceivable, Like Chaim was saying before, maybe we trust that he's an expert, and even though there's counter evidence, we'll account for other possibilities. Now I want to go back to that next line in the Rashba. Go back to source 10 for a moment. Now you'll see there's that first underline. At the end of the first underline, what does the Rashba say? Okay, the end of the first underline is on line 2. Ve'ein adam im raya, the blood is not a proof. De'meimer amrina, de'domotzam dam tzipur hechnisa. Maybe she brought in this bird's blood. That's something that the Gemara considers. The Gemara considers the possibility that maybe she realized that she's in trouble, that she's going to be discovered. So what does she do? She sneaks in some red dye that looks similar to human blood, and she casually pours it out during Bia Rishona to make him think that she's actually a virgin. So the Rashba, now, is that likely? How likely is that?
If you're going to think you're going to die, maybe you do it.
Maybe, not so clear.
It's not likely.
It's a chashash rachok, I would say. We're never told how likely it is, but it's a possibility.
But if she fools around, she may not go against character.
You're saying somebody who would need to do that would be willing to do that. That's a good point. She's probably not a bucking shas. But the point is that the mere point that I want to make is that as much as we're presenting this as a nafkamina, it's quite conceivable that even if you hold that this is about believability, it's not about his chayvos, it's still possible that we would believe him despite the counter evidence.
Because counter evidence is so...
Maybe his right, maybe his word.
But why does Torah say?
What's the burden of proof?
No.
Possibility, or is it...
The counter evidence is pretty good. You found blood there. But because there's some possibility that maybe... Counter evidence is strong, but maybe...
Move the counter evidence. Like
right, but maybe, even though the counter evidence is strong, we'll believe him. We'll believe him. So it's always important to consider the possibility that what we're setting up as a nafkamina of a conceptual chakira, of a conceptual distinction, sometimes it's not so clear that it has to be contingent on our chakira. It's possible that even within one side, we can still countenance two possibilities. Yeah, what's up, Ty?
What's her cycle, by the way? Just what if she period or something and she has blood?
Oh, it's like menstrual blood.
That they feel comfortable probably to tell the difference. I mean, I would assume...
Between Dam Basulim and Dam Nida.
I would assume that. Why? Because that's what they do all the time, so...
This is back in the day, they were such
experts. No, but they were. Blood, that's what they...
Let's just assume for simplicity's sake they can tell the difference. I don't, it's a fair mitzios question. It's a fair realia question, how exactly they would distinguish. But for our purposes, for our legal purposes, we'll just assume for simplicity's sake that it happened. Now... When the Rashba, the second thing I wanted to point out is when the Rashba says "Ein Adam Imraya," okay. Now,
blood's not.
If the Rashba, so now let me take a step back.
But the blood is a raya.
We have one. Give me one second. We have one position that asserts that he can say pesa pasuf motzasi even if they find blood, and we have two explanations for that. One, shavin afshe chatik liuzur is chayvos. We don't care about counter evidence. Option number two, okay. He, even though there's counter evidence, we believe him over the counter evidence. Now, when the Rashba says "Ein Adam Im Raya," the blood is not really a proof. What does it sound like he's saying? Sounds like he's saying that we believe him over the counter evidence because the counter evidence isn't a knockout. It's not a knockout proof.
The counter evidence is a knockout.
We're in this case, we're saying that it's not fully a knockout. It's possible there's Dam Tzibur. It's possible there's Dam Tzibur. The Gemara addresses that. The Gemara talks about what you need to do in order to say that Dam. You need a shamash for him and a shamash for her. You need inspection of the sheet of the mappa.
Yeah.
We're assuming for now that it's not a knockout proof. Right. So it sounds like for the Rashba.
It's raya for the husband.
So then, how can there ever be a what? Problem?
Sounds
with
like
the
it's
blood.
Proof for the husband.
No,
we have a problem because there's a shamash proof.
Right. It's not proof for the wife.
It's not a proof for the wife, exactly. But the Rashba says, in the continuation, the second underline, if you find blood, he can make her prohibited to him.
But he can't.
He can't make her lose her ksuba.
Ah.
Can't make her lose her ksuba. Now, what does this get back into? The whole thresholds of evidence kind of thing. He has enough evidence. He's reached the threshold for creating a prohibition on himself. Talk about it after. Again, there are inspections.
Rashi says that
but
in the
Max,
beginning,
no,
without
no,
Lord,
someone
you know,
took it.
He says he can't get rid of the
ksuba.
Oh. Sorry?
The Rashi...
We'll get to Lafsi the ksuba. That was the position of Rabbi Elazar. We haven't gotten to Shmuel yet. We'll get to Shmuel. Shmuel appears on Amud Beis. We'll get to that. Okay. Now, there's one other thing that I want to address here, and that is the Yerushalmi. Now, we're not going to read all of this inside. But the Rashba attempts to bring a proof from the Yerushalmi, okay, that even when you find blood, he can still say Pesach Pasua Matzasi, even though you found virginal blood, he can still assert that she wasn't a virgin.
So for what purpose?
For creating the not for Hefsek Ksuba, I should have clarified that, not to make her lose her Ksuba, but just for Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Tisura. Brings a proof from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, I'm not going to read the whole Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi is very difficult to read in general, but in that second paragraph, he's bringing a proof from the Yerushalmi that even when you find blood, he's believed to say that she's not a virgin.
And even if you disregard the bird theory.
Even if...
Because the bird theory...
No, the bird theory would support that. The bird theory would support that. He's believed, let's say, because of the possibility that it was Dam Tzipor.
But he's saying Dam Tzipor doesn't bring that.
Does the Yerushalmi bring Dam Tzipor?
Another reason. Yerushalmi is another reason.
Dam Stadim.
One second. Yeah, yeah. No, the Yerushalmi does say that. He says that it's Dam Tzipor or Dam Stadim or something like that. Now,
so Dam Tzipor is one.
What did we see in the Yerushalmi last time?
We said the Yerushalmi did not hold the position of
Exactly. We saw last time that the Yerushalmi holds that Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura even works in cases of Sfeik Sfeika.
Right.
Even in cases where there's that double suffix, generally it's so unlikely that she's actually prohibited, we would permit her. If he asserts that she's prohibited to him, she's prohibited. Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura still works. Now look at what the Rashba says in the final paragraph.
We didn't know that, did we say that the holds the Inyo Sfeik Sfeika? Does the Rashba hold Sfeik Sfeika in other places?
We haven't, okay. Slow down, one moment. You're getting to exactly the core of what I want to discuss in a second. Look at the fourth paragraph in source 10. Vahi the Yerushalmi nami eina raya. You can't prove from the Yerushalmi that we're on page 7, source 10. You can't prove to me from the Yerushalmi that Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura works in cases where they found blood. Why? Devi Yerushalmi mashma lecha ora dechashashu l'safek sota afilu hecha de'ika tarti sveki. Why? Because in the Yerushalmi, Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura works even when there's a Sfek Sveka. We know that the Yerushalmi says that Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura works even in that unlikely circumstance of Sfek Sveka. The Bavli holds that Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura does not work against the Sfek Sveka. So he says, even if you want to tell me the Yerushalmi holds that Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura works in the case where they found blood, we know that the Yerushalmi has a more expansive version of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura anyway. So don't try to bring me proofs from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has a whole different conception of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura. Yerushalmi holds that it works by Sfek Sveka, holds that it works in cases where they found virginal blood. We know that the Bavli holds that it does not work against the Sfek Sveka. Maybe the Bavli holds that it does not work against Matz Udam, case where they found blood either. That's the Rashba's rejection of the proof from the Yerushalmi.
So the woman does not like to stand on any of these cases.
What do you mean?
She can't say it.
No. He's only creating. She can, and she would keep her. She would keep the money that's owed to her in the case of divorce, the ksuba, and she wouldn't be punished in any way. We're all just talking about him creating a prohibition upon himself to continue living with his wife. Look at source 11. The Ritva says, "You know what?
I don't understand what you were just saying. The Yerushalmi, I understand. Yerushalmi doesn't hold the Sfek Sveka. It's still Shavya Nafshei.
Shavya Nafshei works against Sfek Sveka, and Shavya Nafshei works against.
Rashba is saying that why does Yerushalmi even try to defend or
no
that?
No. Yerushalmi holds that even if they found virginal blood, he still can say Shavya. He can still say Pesach Pasua Matzasi. He still do Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura. So some people say, you see, Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura works even in cases where they found blood. Rashba says, no, you can't bring that as a proof, because that's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a whole different conception of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura. It's a whole different category. They think it works against Sfek Sveka. We don't hold of that. The Bavli clearly explicates that it doesn't work against Sfek Sveka. So the Yerushalmi, those Tanoim Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, they also thought that it worked against Dam Basulim. We don't hold that in the Bavli. Look at what the Ritva says, though. Source 11. Va'afilu tema da Yerushalmi paleg b'hal gemara dilan. Even if you want to say that the Yerushalmi disagrees about what he's talking about right now, Sfek Sveka. As we noted before, the Ritva is not really sure if the Yerushalmi even agrees about Sfek Sveka. He thinks that the Rashba treats the Yerushalmi as this radical position. The Ritva thinks that maybe even the Yerushalmi aligns with the Bavli in Sfek Sveka. But he says, even if you want to disagree about Sfek Sveka, mikol makom be'idach tehacha, nonetheless, in the other case that we're dealing with here, namely what? The case where they found blood. Ratzalomashi chada sveka. Afilu igodam ne'em on the osra alav. To simplify, what the Ritva says is as follows. Rashba, you're telling me that Yushalmi can't be used as a proof, because it's a whole different conception of Shavi Nafshei Chatif of the Yisuru. What the Ritva is saying is, you're wrong. It's true that there is a machlokas about Svek Sveika. But how do you know that that issue, that machlokas about Svek Sveika, should expand anywhere beyond Svek Sveika? Maybe the Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi disagrees about Svek Sveika. Hold Shavi Nafshei Chatif of the Yisuru works about Svek Sveika. But regarding everything else, maybe the Yerushalmi and the Bavli align. Maybe they're the same. In essence, what we have here is as follows, to clarify. We know, we saw this last week, there's a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi about whether or not Shavi Nafshei Chatif of the Yisuru works about Svek Sveika. The Yerushalmi holds that it works. The Bavli holds that it does not. Now we have a Machlokas Rishonim whether or not we can expand beyond that case. According to the Rashba, if the Yerushalmi holds it works by Svek Sveika, it's going to work by all sorts of other cases as well. They found on Besulim, any case you can imagine, the Yerushalmi is going to say it works. And the Bavli is not necessarily going to agree. The Ritva is saying the Machlokas is limited to Svek Sveika. How do you know that you can expand beyond Svek Sveika? We have a very limited Machlokas. You, Rashba, are asserting that we can expand it to all sorts of other cases as well. How do you know? Maybe it's limited to Svek Sveika.
How did the Rashba's methodology to expand it? Let's go back one step. Why did we think the Rashba has an expanded view of
because the Rashba says the Yerushalmi says it works for Svek Sveika. Maybe the Yerushalmi will hold it works for a case where they found blood as well. But the Bavli won't hold of that.
It was just a maybe.
The Rashba's asserting that you can't bring a proof from the Yerushalmi.
Right.
And the Ritva is saying you can bring a proof from the Yerushalmi. That was a limited dispute. How can you expand that to the case of Matzu Dan Basulim? The Yerushalmi doesn't say anything about that.
And the Rashba doesn't say.
I'm sorry. The Rashba
does not say why he thinks that the Yerushalmi would have that position.
He doesn't
he takes along with it all kinds of other cases.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't assert that the Bavli is the same as the Yerushalmi. The Ritva is saying that in every case aside from Svek Sveika, we'll assume that the Bavli is the same as the Yerushalmi. Now the question that I'm posing is what is fueling these different assumptions in the Rishonim? The Rashba is saying if they disagree about Svek Sveika, we might as well say they disagree about everything when it comes to Shavi Nafshei Chatif of the Yisuru. The Ritva is saying no, they disagree about Svek Sveika. That's a limited issue. Don't expand to other issues. Don't assume that they're going to disagree about everything. Let's assume that there's accord, except in cases where we know that there's discord.
Yeah, because so obviously the Rashba holds that the Yerushalmi does use Svek Sveika somewhere else, and so therefore, if it takes Svek Sveika, you can't just wipe out Svek Sveika.
And the Ritva
holds the opposite position,
namely,
holds that if it's an exception to this rule, it's not accepted. There was no Svek Sveika by the Yerushalmi.
If you remember last week when we came across the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we noted that there's two issues that are intersecting here. One is Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura. That's our sugya. The other is Svek Sveika. That will be our sugya at some point. Okay? And we noted that whenever you have that dispute between any machlokas, Rishonim, Amaraim, in this case between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the dispute could be understood in one of two ways. Either it's a Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura issue, or it is what?
A Svek Sveika issue.
So how did we explain it? One option was it's a Svek Sveika issue. The Bavli holds this concept of Svek Sveika. When there's a Svek Sveika, you're allowed to be Mekdil, you're allowed to be Matir. The Yerushalmi, by contrast, doesn't hold a Svek Sveika. Where does this concept come from, Svek Sveika? There's no such thing as a Svek Sveika. That was one explanation that we gave for the Machlokas. The other option was, everybody agrees to the concept of Svek Sveika. The question is what? The power of Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura. Can Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura overcome a Svek Sveika? Now, okay? If we take the first approach, that it's a machlokas about Svek Sveika, Yerushalmi doesn't think that Svek Sveika exists.
You have to prove that across the board.
That's true. But let's assume for a moment that that's what's going on. At least this Yerushalmi, at least this position in the Yerushalmi. Would that have any bearing on Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura's ability to fight against a case where they found blood? No, it has nothing to do with Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura. All the Yerushalmi is saying is that there's no such thing as Svek Sveika. Okay? So why does Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura work? Because there's no Svek Sveika. The Bavli holds of Svek Sveika, so the Bavli holds that there's going to be a problem. But that's obviously not going to have any bearing on other cases of Shavi Anafshei Chatichu D'Yisura. Right? It's a Give a bad muscle, okay? Give a bad muscle.
You're removing it from Nafamina.
Yeah, exactly. And you have, well, no, well, sort of.
Sort of.
Yes. Yes. In essence, yes. You have two trains. You have the Bavli train and the Yerushalmi train, okay? One of them gets over, the Bavli train overcomes Svek Sveka. Let's say there's a mountain, right? Can it get over? The question is always going to be, can the train get over the hump, right? So, the Bavli's version gets over the hump, the Yerushalmi's doesn't, okay? We could say that the train is stronger. That's one option. Or you could say that the Bavli had an incline, but the Yerushalmi did not. The Yerushalmi was flat. So we're taking the Svek Sveka as the obstacle, right? One option is that the Bavli had an obstacle of Svek Sveka. The Yerushalmi had no obstacle because there's no such thing as Svek Sveka. Does that tell you anything about the nature of the locomotive? Does that tell you anything about the nature of Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura? No. It just tells you something about Svek Sveka. The alternative is what? Everybody agrees that there's something called Svek Sveka. There's this obstacle called Svek Sveka. The Bavli holds Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura is so strong that it overcomes this obstacle. The Yerushalmi holds, no. Put on the brakes. Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura is a wonderful principle. It doesn't have the strength to overcome Svek Sveka. Now, if I take that second approach, then what? Then the Bavli thinks that Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura is stronger than the Yerushalmi does, right? The Bavli thinks that it can overcome Svek Sveka. The Yerushalmi thinks it cannot overcome Svek Sveka. Now, if we talk about Matsu Dam Basulim, is it conceivable that the Yerushalmi... I'm sorry, I said that in reverse. The Yerushalmi's version is stronger than the Bavli's. The Yerushalmi's overcomes the obstacle, the Bavli's does not. So now we're faced with a new obstacle, namely Matsu Dam Basulim. They found the virginal blood. And now, if the Yerushalmi has a stronger Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura, if you tell me that the Yerushalmi holds it can overcome the obstacle, does that necessarily mean that the Bavli holds the same thing? Not at all. Because the Yerushalmi holds of a stronger Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura. Expand the Shavin Avshech Hatichat Yisura. So I think that could exactly be that. Those two theoretical options that we used to explain that machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi last week could be exactly the machlokas that's going on between the Rashi.
The Shaman could hold that it's stronger in
yeah, go ahead.
The Shaman could hold